Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Midway Church of Christ morning service, and we thank you for joining us online and participating with us this morning. We like to welcome those that are visiting with us online and joining in with us on worship, and we would like to extend a welcome to you and thank you for joining us. This morning we'll be having worship. We're going to change the order of worship up a little bit and have the sermon first, and then we'll participate in communion and song service thereafter. So you'll notice a little bit of difference there, but all the same components of worship as we do on the first day of the week. So one thing that we'd like to tell you about is next week we will start coming back together in corporate worship here, and we'll be doing all the precautions as needed as for those that feel comfortable about coming back and joining us in worship here at the building. So we're excited to resume our gathering here, and we will understand how people will have their own readiness for coming back together, and we understand that, but we'll be taking all the precautions here to try to make things as good as possible for everybody and keep everybody safe. So as we start our morning worship, if you would bow in prayer with me. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity that we can come and worship you this day. We thank you for your son and the life that he gave us. We thank you for the life that we can share together and to live together as your son sacrificed his life for us. We pray that you will be with our church family. We pray your blessings upon it. We pray that you will be with our country and nation, that we will seek you and to seek to come closer to you and the lives that we lead. We pray that you will open our eyes to the needs of those around us. We pray we will seek your will in all things. Be with us as we worship, and we ask your blessings on our time together this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, today's scripture is from the book of James, first chapter, verses 5-8. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do.
Good morning, Midway members, and those of you who are joining online with us this morning to study God's Word. Isn't it good to be a Christian?
Amen.
Back in 2016 in
Toronto, Canada, there was a woman at the Toronto Zoo who lost her hat in the tiger cage, and she was with her child, and she left her child on the sidewalk and jumped over the fence to retrieve her hat. Fortunately, there was a secondary fence there that the tiger separated him from her and her hat. She went down, and as the crowd watched, some people were in shock. Some people were screaming. Some people were covering their children's eyes. The tiger was spooked and was going back and forth across the fence. And it would seem that it was a very dangerous situation and that the tiger might could just jump over that fence. because he had been really disturbed by this lady jumping the fence to go get her $5 hat. Seemed like a very foolish thing in people's eyes. One bystander told her that wasn't a very smart thing to do at all. Look at the example that you set. And the whole situation created a big uproar. Sometimes we do things that are not the wisest things to do. As they interviewed one of the zookeepers after this was over, she made sure to make the statement that oftentimes people lose things over the fence in the cages of animals, but it is not wise to go in and get it yourself. It's much wiser to get a staff person who's been trained and they have methods of retrieving your merchandise. Don't do what's foolish. Do what's wise. And we often, when we look at someone showing wisdom, we appreciate it and admire it. Sometimes we even marvel at it. Because when someone is able to correctly apply knowledge in a way that there's no question that's a smart thing to do, we appreciate it. There was a bunch of older men that were on a job site. There was a young man who was very big, very strong. If you shook his hand, he had one of those hands where you could barely get your fingers around it. It was just firm. I mean, he was a man's man. He was confident. He was strong. And he often liked to let the older guys know that he was strong and they weren't. And so he would often brag and make a spectacle out of doing things with his strength that the older men couldn't. Well, one day, one of the older men was standing by a wheelbarrow full of bricks, and his job was to move it across the yard. And here Brad came, and he began to make the boast about him being so much stronger and that he could move that wheelbarrow much easier than the older man. And the older man said, "You know what? You're always mouthing off about being so strong. I'll make a bet with you. I bet that I can move something in the wheelbarrow across the yard that you can't move back." And Brad said, "Oh, that's ridiculous." He said, "I'll bet you a full day's wage that that's not true." So the man said, standing by the wheelbarrow, said, "Get in." And he moved this strong man across the yard, and he couldn't get out and move himself. That was a wise solution to someone who was braggadocious and obnoxious, and it put him in his place. When you see somebody exercise wisdom, it's kind of like checkmate. There's no question that that was the right move to make. In the Old Testament, we see Solomon as an example of someone who needed wisdom. God said, "Ask for whatever you want." Can you imagine being given the opportunity to ask for whatever you wanted? You could ask for anything. What would you ask for? Solomon was in that position, and what did he ask for? He asked for wisdom in governing God's people. And God gave him wisdom. Didn't mean that he was perfect, but he was a person in certain circumstances of his life, he exercised great wisdom. And we know that he is responsible for Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and literature that we read in the Old Testament that has to do with the wisdom literature. And as an example of God giving him wisdom, there was a situation where two women with two babies were asleep at night. One rolls over on her baby, it suffocates. So she sees the baby that's alive and she swaps the babies. And then the women begin to get into an argument about whose baby it was. And they come before Solomon, and with great wisdom, he says, "Bring me a sword and cut the baby in half." And the mother of the baby that was alive said, "She can have the baby." And he knew by that was the real mother because she wouldn't want to see any harm done to her child. And he showed great wisdom. What about you? What about me? Do we make wise choices? Especially in times of trouble, Scripture tells us that we need to ask God for wisdom in the verses that Tony just read. But also Scripture teaches us that one of the questions that we often should be asking ourselves as we follow Jesus is this the wise thing to do? In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, it says, be very careful then how to live, not as unwise, but as wise. And he continues in verse 16 and 17, making the most of every opportunity for the days of evil. Don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. God wants us to be wise, to make wise decisions and choices, to have wisdom. Therefore, one of the questions we have to often ask is, what is the wise thing to do? Wisdom. Being able to discern how what we know can be put into practical living. It's taking the opportunities that we have and living them out in our lives in the right way as we follow Jesus wherever he leads us. And in the present time that we live in, don't we need a lot of wisdom? I mean, how many of you started off this year in January of 2020 thinking that this was going to be a year for clarity, things were going to be good, and all of a sudden we were faced with this pandemic and other circumstances that have been difficult to deal with? And it has become a year that proves to us how important it is for us to have wisdom. In James, he says, does anybody lack wisdom? It's interesting. I was sitting on the couch with Dee Dee, and I said, it's interesting if you go to the table of contents of your Bible and you count down 20 books, guess what book is number 20? And she said, Job. And I said, no. Proverbs. And I said, in the New Testament, if you go down the table of contents and you count down 20 books, guess which book it is? And she said, Job. And I said, no, she was just kidding. But it's James. And it's interesting in 2020 that probably the thing that we need most is wisdom. Making the right choices and decisions in life. How many times have you caught yourself just thinking, should I do this or should I do this? With this pandemic, how many times are people telling you do this and other people are telling you do this? Don't we need some wisdom? And James says, when you face trials of many kinds, you need to be joyful. We talked about last week. You need to persevere. And you need to grow. But you also need to remember what James says in the next two verses, because he's going to give us great insight into how do you get wisdom. It's not just about knowing what to do. It's about making the right application in life with what we know. This morning, I want us to look at three requirements from James 1, 5 through 8 to get the wisdom you need. First of all, he says, ask God for the wisdom you need. If anybody lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously without finding fault, and it will be given to you. What a verse. This is God's part. He's generous. He wants to give us all the wisdom we need. In the Old Testament, as he's bringing the Israelites into the promised land, he says, I'm the God that brought you out of Egypt. Open your mouth and I will fill it. He's saying, look, You ask for wisdom, and I will give it to you. He says he gives generously without finding fault. It doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter how much money you make, doesn't matter how tall or short you are, doesn't matter how strong or weak you are, none of that matters. God will not find any fault. When you ask him for wisdom, he's going to give it to you. What an incredible promise. And he says, all you have to do is ask. Now, 2 weeks ago in my Sunday morning sermon, I made a comment in my sermon that it would be nice to be able to go to the refrigerator anytime I wanted and have watermelon because I walk like watermelon. And that next week, guess what I found on my porch? Not once, but twice. Somebody came and rang the doorbell. I opened the door and there was a watermelon. Two different members. Only two, but two. Giving me watermelon. All I had to do is ask. All you have to do is simply ask. Then I was thinking, well, maybe the next time I come to church, I need to tell people I'd really like a Corvette. Maybe Joe could write me in his will. But I'm not going to ask for anything. God gives me everything I need. But you get the point. Sometimes it's about asking, seeking, and knocking. It's about simply asking God. When we ask him, he will give to us. And this is an imperative. It's not a choice. Ask if you want to, don't if you don't. It says ask. When you face trials, when you think you lack wisdom, when you don't know how to make sense of things, ask God. It's something he wants you to do. Why? Because there's a dynamic in my relationship with God that's significant. He needs me to need him. He needs me to ask him for help. He needs me to depend on him for help. That's why things like the model prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Here he's saying in the tense in Greek, it's something we do over and over again. I don't ask God for wisdom one time and get it. I have to ask God for wisdom. When I lack it, I ask. And it's something that happens over and over again. Because my relationship with God is me depending on him and him supplying things for me. And when God takes care of me, I am grateful and thankful. And when I ask him, I'm being obedient and I'm depending on him and I'm having to trust him. And we'll see in these verses that I have to believe in him. And when those things are happening between me and God, my relationship is strong and rich, and I can do great things for God because that relationship is whole. There's a dynamic that takes place. Every time that we get in a tight, confusing circumstance in life, depend on God. And one of the important elements to this is to think about how we normally deal with trials. Maybe it's a financial trial. Maybe we lose a job. Maybe we have a relationship that there's a conflict in it. How do we normally respond to those circumstances? When I first became a Christian, I would often respond to those circumstances just like I always would. I would seek advice. I would call people that with questions, I would struggle on my own. I would try to figure out my own solution. I would lean on my own understanding. And many times I would go through a process and then realize 12 hours later that I hadn't called on God, that I hadn't asked for his help and his deliverance in this circumstance. I'm going to fix my mic just a second. Keeps on slipping down. All right, try that. Sometimes what's significant in our growth is to get to where there's less and less of a gap between when I call on God and the difficulty that I face. In other words, my first response should be to seek God's help, to ask God for help, to depend on Him in that circumstance. And I remember as a kid going to a Bible class. My teacher's name was Bob. He was a college student. And he was talking about this verse. And he said, when you face difficulties, your first response should be to ask God for wisdom. And it stuck with me. And I learned that in life, when your first response is to trust in God and seek wisdom from Him, that's where the real sweet spot is in your walk of faith. How long do you wait before you turn to God? You have a car crash. Our immediate response is to make sure people are okay, to call an ambulance, and all those things are right responses. But we ought to get to a point where our very first response is, God, help me with this circumstance. Give me wisdom in this situation. The more we narrow that gap, the better our walk with God is. He says, does anybody lack wisdom? Let him ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. God's going to place it in your hands. Wisdom. None of us can accuse God of not supplying what we need. He'll give it to us. All we have to do is ask. And then secondly, he says, believe without doubt, and God will give you wisdom. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like the wave of a sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded, unstable in all they do. There's God's part. He will supply us with wisdom if we ask for it. And there's our part. We have to ask and believe. We can't just ask and expect God to give it. We have to have faith. We have to ask God, believing that He's going to give it to us with absolutely no doubt. We can't be double-minded, because if we're double-minded, we're like the wave, something on the wave of a sea tossed to and fro. There has to be certainty, assurance, faith, the kind of faith Abraham had when he offered up Isaac on the altar, 100% absolute faith. When I go to God and ask for it, I need to ask for it with that kind of confidence. Sometimes Satan puts things in our minds to make us think that we're not worthy enough. The scripture tells us in the New Testament, book of Hebrews says, approach the throne of grace with boldness. That's someone who's confident. When I'm in trouble, I shouldn't think God's too busy for me. God's not going to help me. God's not going to give me wisdom. Most people don't pray because they're too busy. And next on the statistic list is many people don't pray because they got the sneaking suspicion that maybe it's not going to work. If you've got the sneaking suspicion that God is not going to give you wisdom, you're not going to get it. You have to have confidence. You have to have belief. Sometimes you might have to pray, God, I believe. Please help my unbelief. You may struggle with it, but if you let God know that, and you believe that He can do it, He will do it. But you have to step in faith and belief. You can't be a doubter. You've got to erase the doubts and ask with confidence. When you face trials in life, God is there ready to supply. If you don't have the wisdom you need as you face the circumstances, guess who is moved? Guess whose fault that is? In fact, in the Greek, when it talks about the person who doubts, it's in the middle voice, which may or may not mean anything a lot of times. But what it does mean in this context is the person is having the conversation with themselves. You're doubting. It's on you. That's what's blocking God from giving you the wisdom. And then finally, the third part of this is receive God's wisdom and walk in it. If anyone lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously without finding fault, and it will be given to you. And then in verse 7, he says, if you doubt, how do you think you can receive it? So the counter to that is, if you believe it, you will receive it. You can believe it, but you've got to catch it. You got to catch the ball like a receiver. You've got to put your hands out and take what God gives and use it in your life, striving to walk in wisdom. As we try to become people who are wise, we fill ourselves with God's word. Practical wisdom that God gives us in the very trials that we go through is going to be supported by the knowledge of God's word that we have. And then we use that knowledge in practical ways in our lives. That's what wisdom is, the practical application of knowledge. The book of James has about 30 practical advice principles in it. It's all about applying what God's word says in a practical way to our lives. Beautiful book. I'm going to give you a challenge in the next quarter of the year. So if you want to prop your feet up and take August off, that's okay. But September, October, November, and December, read Proverbs once a month. Just an extra chapter a day from whatever other reading you have. But look at the wisdom that is in that book, and it will make you seek and strive to make wise choices. I mean, it's full of things. I've always liked the book of Proverbs. It's got little quippy statements like, the man who says to his neighbor something and then just says, I'm kidding, is like a madman running around with a hatchet. I mean, doesn't that put an image in your head? Someone who says to somebody, oh, you're a lot bigger than you used to be, and then says, just kidding, because I don't want to hurt their feelings. You're like a madman running around with a hatchet. Or here's another one. The person who gets involved in somebody else's strife is like a man grabbing a rabid dog by the ears. Get that picture? It's full of little statements that teach truths that need to be put into practical application into our lives. Do you live foolishly or do you live wisely? God has given us His Word to fill our lives with knowledge. And He says, when you face trials of many kinds, you need to be joyful, you need to persevere, you need to grow, but you also need to ask and believe in God and receive what He provides and use it in your life. This last week, Dee Dee and I spent some time at Brazos Bend National Park, just about 50 minutes away from here. And there's a little trail. It's about a mile out through the woods to a little lake called Elm Lake, one of the larger lakes there. There's about 250 alligators at Brazos Bend. And Dee Dee was wanting to go wrestle some alligators, so I took her out there. And as we're walking through the woods, she says, if we see an alligator, what should we do? Should we run? And I said, no. It's not a good idea to run, especially if you're within 30 feet of an alligator. Because for the first 30 feet, whether it's running or swimming, they can be faster than the fastest man. So think about Usain Bolt, and you think about Michael Phelps, and for 30 feet, you're in trouble. So probably not a good idea to run. But you might want to be aware of some wise things to do with alligators. And if you go to the Brazos Bend website, they've got 7 statements of etiquette for alligators. I'm not going to go over all of them, but when you read them, you think, okay, that's wise. First of all, you need to social distance yourself from an alligator, right? 30 feet, not 6 feet, not 2 feet, 30 feet. Be 30 feet away. Also, if you see an alligator, don't try to pick it up and move it. Well, duh. If you're fishing, don't use a stringer, use a bucket. Don't feed the alligators. They give you some wise, practical advice to say, look, if you're going to be in this environment, there's dangers. James is letting us know and letting the original readers, those Jews scattered throughout the world, know you're living in a dangerous environment. Ask God for wisdom. Believe that He will give it to you and receive it. The message is yours. Ask, believe, and receive. Are you walking in wisdom or are you walking foolishly? That's the question. May God bless us as we continue to study His Word and try to grow. We hope that you'll join us either here or online next week. If you would, pray with me before Kendall comes up to lead us in a song. Father, we thank You for Your love for us. We often make foolish decisions in life. We often face issues in life where we lack wisdom. We thank You for the clarity of the book of James, and we pray that You'll help us to be a group of believers here at Midway that when we're in trouble, when we struggle, we ask, believe, and receive wisdom from You. And we live wise lives in all of our lives. Bless our body here at Midway. Give us strength and courage, and make us a bright light in the community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's sing together. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to You the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to You the sacrifices of joy. By Christ redeemed, in Christ restored, we keep the supper of the Word and show the death of our dear Lord until He come. His body given in our stead is seen in this memorial bread. And as we drink, we see the blood until He come. And thus that dark betrayal night, with the last advent we unite, by one bright chain of loving right, until He come.
Now with the things that we face with this virus. And next Lord's Day as we begin to worship again here in the building together. This time in our service is the time set aside for us to reflect upon the cross, a time that we gather at the table that we call the Lord's table. And as I think about the communion that we're about to partake of, I think what a great blessing we have as Christians to be able to partake of the Lord's Supper each Lord's Day, to partake of these emblems chosen by our Lord Himself to remember him by. These emblems are not for the world to share. They're not for the unbeliever. They are for faithful Christians to fellowship with one another and share these emblems with one another and with God the Father and with our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Jesus, as I said, chose these emblems himself, and in three of the four Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Matthew 26 and Mark 14 and in Luke, the 22nd chapter, they tell us how Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took from the feast of the Passover the unleavened bread. And as he gave thanks for it, he told them, "This is my body, which is given for you." We know that that very same day, the next day, he was hanging on the cross, giving up his body in pain and suffering for us. And then he took the cup, the fruit of the vine, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This is my blood shed for you for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." So again, I say, what a blessing we have each Lord's Day to commune with each other and to share these emblems together, because our Lord himself chose these for us to remember him by. Let's go to our Father in prayer as we partake of the bread. Lord, we humbly come before you, so thankful for Jesus, for his willingness to sacrifice himself for us. And Father, we pray as we partake that we will reflect on the suffering that he did as he hung there on the cross, that we will examine ourselves, examine our hearts, and examine our lives, and try to make ourselves what you would have us to be, to partake in a manner pleasing in your sight. Father, bless us as we partake this bread and as we remember the Lord's sacrifice. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's pray again as we're about to take the cup. Father, we continue our thanks to you for Jesus and for his sacrifice. We thank you now for this fruit of the vine, which represents to us the blood that he shed on the cross for the remission of our sins. Father, as we partake, help us to know what a great sacrifice that was, and realize, Lord, that without that sacrifice, we would be lost and without hope for eternity. Father, as we partake this cup, help us to do so to honor him, and help us to honor you with our lives as we go from here. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Let's pray again as we end this communion service. Lord, thank you for every blessing that you bestow upon us. And thank you especially for our spiritual blessings, for Jesus who died, who rose again. And as we look forward to his return, Lord, help us to live for you, to live more closely to you each day, and to be examples to the world about us that you would have us to be. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus, for his willingness to come to this earth, give us examples, be punished and suffer and die for the forgiveness of our sins. Help us to honor him as we live, looking forward to his return. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
During the time of the New Testament, Paul, at least on one occasion, asked members to contribute to the needs of others. We also are asked to consider the wealth that we've been provided and to return a portion of that to the Lord. We're so thankful for the brethren at Midway, the contribution during the pandemic has not slackened, but done well. We encourage you to continue that because the work of the church never, ever ceases. We always want to have funds available to help those in need. So we're thankful once again for you who bring your contribution by the church, or who leave a check, or who mail a check. It's so good that you have been doing so. Before we have our closing prayer, I'd like to note that next Thursday, about 11 a.m., we ask that men who are available come to the building as we're going to be getting it ready for the worship service on Saturday. There's much to do to prepare the building, so we ask volunteers to come up and help us get things in order. So now let us go to our Father in prayer. Father, it is such a blessing that you give us the privilege of asking and receiving. We know, Lord, that wisdom is something that is essential. It's something that causes decisions to be made that are appropriate. And we pray, Lord, that as we as individual members look to the future of our personal lives and the lives of our church family and the lives of our citizens, that wisdom will prevail and that the good things that you can provide will be provided. Father, we know that many are ill with the pandemic and with many other illnesses. Bless them, Lord, and keep them and secure their return to health. We pray, Father, for all of us as we go through these times that we will be cautious and be careful and be sure to ask you to help us as you guide us through these days. Lord, we pray for our country. At this time, there is much turmoil. We pray that you will cause the turmoil to cease and that goodness and love will prevail. We thank you, Lord, for those who put themselves out there to be in a leadership position or in a rescue position or in a security position. Keep them, Lord. Be with our military, be with our police, be with our hospitals, be with our doctors, be with our nurses. Bless all who do things to help others. We pray now that you will bless us, that you will give us health during this week, and bless all that we do. These things we ask in your name. Amen.